Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Shortcomings, where we are shooting the shit about every episode of Sex and the City every single week. I am your host, Samantha Bush, and I am joined by my other host, Chris Lewis. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We aren't going to waste any time just chatting, you listening to us today, because we've got a star with us. We've got an actor, a comedian, and frankly, the star, in my opinion, of the Sex and the City revival, Byram Rezai.
Hi. Thank you for coming.
Guys. Thanks for having me. This is very exciting.
So, Byram, do you want to tell the folks who you are?
Yeah, I am a professional background actor, and I had the pleasure of working on an episode of the upcoming Sex and the City revival.
But you're not just an actor in the revival, you're also the star of the viral meme that is just taking the world. The discourse is still going
still
on about
going
this goddamn
on.
Dress.
This fucking dress.
Is it from Forever 21? You are the gentleman.
In the back.
Behind the icon.
I sure am.
You are also wearing a crossbody fanny pack.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
I'm so interested in this because the, you know, the lore of Sex and the City is that they take the costuming so seriously. And the first thing I have to ask is anything in that fanny pack?
Everything's in that fanny pack. I don't know if you've zoomed out on the photo, but the pants I'm wearing are very tight.
Oh, no, I'm looking at it right now. I was going to ask.
Actually, folks, if you want to, you know, listen, look at and listen, just Google Sarah Jessica Parker, Carrie Bradshaw, Forever 21 dress.
And you'll see our man
you'll
right
see
there.
Byram. Gorgeous as he is behind Sarah Jessica Parker, honestly stealing the show.
In a very tight, are those joggers?
Those are joggers. You know, the real scandal, the real fashion scandal behind this whole photo is that I wear that outfit in pretty much every show filming in New York for next season. So that's probably going to be the next viral sensation where you see that photo, you see that outfit in five or six shows that debut next year.
I'm very excited. Now, are you walking a dog?
Yes, and it's not
mine. Whose dog? Is that your dog?
No, I borrowed it. So the casting call came out for handsome Upper West Side man with dog. And I learned after the pandemic not to say no to any opportunity. So I submitted for it. They reached back out and they were like, great, can you show us your dog? And I was like, fuck. Well, can I curse on this?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was like,
we're clowns.
So I don't have a dog. I texted my friend who lives in the city and I said, can I borrow your dog? And she said yes. She didn't even ask what for. She just said yes. And so she loaned me her senior dog. It's a 12-year-old dog. It was the hottest day of the year. She didn't pack any snacks, any water. She goes, take it to Crafty. The dog eats donuts, chips. You're fine. So it was a borrowed dog.
We got a very loosey-goosey dog owner. She's just like, take the dog, feed it chips. It'll be fine.
Yeah, they're like, this dog survived enough. We don't give a shit.
Exactly.
I'm
so
obsessed.
I do have to ask, so you dressed yourself?
Yeah, so the way background works is they want you to bring clothing options, and then they'll decide what you wear from your own wardrobe. Some people show up and have horrible clothing, so they'll pull stuff from the trailer, but they don't really want to wait. Especially,
that's what I would do, so that I got the clothing.
Exactly. But post-pandemic, they don't want to even lend you clothes. So they don't want to have to worry about that. So it's really a case of
emergency.
What else
is Corona going to take from us?
Exactly. So they have you lug an entire suitcase with options, and then they'll be like, all right, wear this. In my case, they were like, wear these skin-tight joggers and this fanny pack. Which was, I think the fanny pack was because the pants were so tight and then they don't want to see like a wallet and a phone and AirPods and hand sanitizer and baby wipes and snacks. They were just
and
like,
chips for the dog.
Be a crossbody
king. So you
brought
the fanny pack.
Yeah, that's mine. Everything in that photo is 100% mine.
Fashion.
Yeah.
Oh,
honestly,
my God.
I have to say, my eye went right to you when I saw this, mostly because I didn't want to look at that Forever 21 knockoff dress, but we're not going to talk about that.
It's not Forever 21. It's from Anthropologie.
I'm seeing online that it could be.
All right. We're not getting into that. But
what was your experience? Like, no spoilers, obviously.
Right.
I believe you probably, much like hanging out with Beyonce, I'm sure you had to sign an NDA.
Yeah.
But did you engage with Sarah Jessica Parker?
We passed each other several times doing that scene, and she always politely nodded. But what you guys have to understand is that there, on that corner that we filmed, in the street, in the city bike racks, people were just crowded around us. Everyone, people were whispering, you know, not whispering, shouting, "We love you, Carrie." There were so many distractions. And if you're in her position, the slightest eye contact you make with someone, the wrong person might take that as engagement and then just like keep, staring or talking to her. So it was very much like a quick glance acknowledging each other. I do have to say, though, she smells unbelievable. I don't know.
I knew she would.
Yeah. I don't know what she wears. I did a little bit of research.
Did she have a perfume back in the day?
She has several.
Covet?
So, funny enough, it's not Covet. It's Stash. Or that's what I thought it would smell like. So she has a few of them. But the one that she was wearing smelled very like patchouli, black pepper, bergamot, stuff like that. And then I looked online and she said that Stash, which was the last fragrance that she debuted, had almost like a male BO scent to it. That's what she wanted it to have. And she definitely smelled masculine. It was a really good smell.
But
she said,
smell.
Yeah, she had done an interview about it when it came out. And she's like, "I wear it on everything. I have a force field of it around me." It's discontinued, so I don't even know where you would buy it. I looked it up online.
Well, Byram, I have to say, you may have not spoken to her, but it seems like you really got in on the
I breathed her in.
Yeah. You really took her in. I appreciate it.
I have to tell you guys, the crazy thing about filming that day was like almost 20 years to the day. I stumbled on a Sex and the City set where she was filming in the West Village, and I got a photo with her. So it was crazy timing.
What episode were they filming way back then? Do you remember?
It was an episode where I could probably find it because they had a taxi cab that was on a flatbed. It wasn't actually moving in the street. And I have a photo where she's wearing a dress and she gets in the taxi. So I could probably figure out if we know what season they were filming the summer of 2001, then we could probably piece it together. I'll follow up with you guys on that.
Yeah. If you just show us the dress, we'll be like, that was this episode.
Oh, that was episode five.
Like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So you have a history with the show. So did you watch it originally?
No, but the crazy thing is we had gone, a couple of friends of mine, our friend was bartending in the West Village and we were like, let's go support her. It was like a daytime bar gig, whatever. She was under 21, but I guess you can bartend if you're under 21 or I don't know what kind of arrangement she had. So she's like, swing by, show some support. I'll give you guys some free drinks. So we head down there. We were under 21. We couldn't get into the bar. So we got rejected at the door. And so we're just like walking around and we stumble upon Sarah Jessica Parker standing outside of a Chinese restaurant. I don't know if someone was grabbing her lunch, but she was literally just standing there on her phone. And so we just walked up to her and we're like, can we get a photo with you? And she was very accommodating. And then literally 20 years almost to the day,
wow,
I was filming a scene.
Wow.
I love this full circle moment.
I do too.
With SJP.
Yeah.
But I am disappointed that it's seemingly you've never seen this show.
No, no, I've seen the show. I wasn't watching the show back then. I've watched it since. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So who do you identify as? I am a Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
We are in the presence of a very dizzy Carrie in the form of Samantha Bush.
Very dizzy.
Then I guess,
I'm looking you up and I'm going to say you're a Miranda.
Yeah, I guess, I have this, the Miranda haircut. I guess
early season.
Yeah, early season.
Season one. We're looking at season one.
Yeah, so I would want to be a Carrie, but I guess if you're already Carrie, we can't overlap.
I don't think you want to be a Carrie at all.
It's tough being a Carrie.
It is?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know. You might want to rewatch the show.
She's a mess.
Okay.
She's a goddamn mess.
All right.
Yeah.
So I'm forgetting who was Miranda, what's Miranda's housekeeper's name?
Magda.
Magda. That's it. I'm a Magda.
You're a Magda?
I'm a Magda.
Okay, so you're very traditional. You don't want women to masturbate and they should bake pies.
Yeah, and I'm also kind of Eastern European, so let's just...
Okay.
The shoe fits.
Perfect.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and you... what did she put on Miranda's nightstand? Holy water or something?
It was like a
doll of Jesus. It was like a statue of like Mary or something.
A statue. It was not a doll of Jesus Christ.
Or it could also be Miranda's mother-in-law because I have eaten pizza out of the trash bin before. So
okay.
That's a pivotal scene. That's where we really saw Miranda switch, right? That's where she became a warm-hearted.
In the series finale, she finally decided to be kind.
Yeah,
exactly.
After 6 years.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, any last words, Byram, about your experience? Anything you want us to know? I'm so excited to see you. Well, this scene is not... I was going to say, I hope this doesn't get cut. But she's wearing this dress quite a lot. So I think whatever's happening in this episode, you can't say anything.
Yeah.
It's obviously incredibly impactful.
Yeah, they've been filming more. I haven't been involved in subsequent filming dates, but she has been seen wearing the dress in Central Park. I guess they're continuing to film different scenes where she is wearing the dress. I will say, though, that from what I saw in person, she looked incredible. The shirt that she's wearing under the dress is like a very tailored shirt, and it was hanging off her back a little bit, and she looked phenomenal in it. Like, I don't think anyone would really, if you saw her in person, it looks a lot better than in the photo. And I think the photo that's gone viral, so to speak, is a little bit unfair because they chose a photo. I'm grateful that they chose it because I'm in it. But right. There were so many photos taken of her. And in this one, she's like looking at the camera. She's pointing because it's really what she's saying on the phone. We were in the middle of filming. But I think they chose a photo where she looks angry.
Yeah.
To amplify the dress, not like, it's almost like she's angry that they put her in this, right?
Yeah.
Because there's other photos where she's smiling and the dress is blowing in the wind and she looks ethereal.
Yeah, I haven't seen one picture of her smiling.
Exactly. I'm not in those, so I'm grateful that they chose this one, but yeah.
Good.
Oh my God. Well, also, so it's going to be your Sex and City debut and
it is.
The dogs.
Yeah. So
hopefully the dog is still with us when the show premieres.
You know, God. She's had
watch
nine
party.
Lives. Yeah. The funny thing about the dog is that I had no familiarity with it. I'd met the dog once before. So it's the hottest day of the year so far, and I have someone else's dog, and people are coming up to me, other background actors, and they're like, is the dog okay? And I'm like, fuck, is it? Like, I don't know. What are signs?
You're like, does it not look okay?
Yeah. And they're like, well, the pavement's really hot, so maybe don't leave it on the ground. And so, like, I'm picking up the dog, and I scoop it up, and I just get a handful of doggy vagina in my hand. And I'm like, I don't know what to do.
I would vomit.
I almost threw up.
Yeah. So one of the PAs was like, do you need water for the dog? And I was like, sure. You know, and do you have hand sanitizer? Because I don't know what I just grabbed scooping this dog up.
But I'm looking at this dog, and she's a little cutie.
You know, it is interesting. In the casting notice, they didn't say dog must be, like, set, trained, or well-behaved. So I was very lucky that I brought a senior dog who
right.
didn't want to bark,
very
who didn't
chill.
Want to climb. Very chill. I hadn't thought about that in advance, right? I didn't even think about, like, did she pack bags for me to scoop up if the dog goes? And she mm-hmm. didn't. But
you've really demystified extras for me because I didn't realize it was so brass tacks to like also bring your own dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. If they will have you bring anything, they're
like, bring your own outfit, bring your own dog, frankly, bring your own food.
Yeah.
They don't guarantee you food, but some shows, if you work and they're doing like a business, I worked on another show yesterday where they wanted business attire. And they'll tell you, like, please bring 4 head-to-toe changes. It's like, I'm an extra. What makes you think I have 4 business suits with 4 pairs of dress shoes? I do, but what makes you
right.
think that I have that and I'm willing to bring it to set? You know what I mean? They have those kinds of requests.
That's very interesting. Because I
had
no idea.
You're doing the Lord's work.
Yeah.
Because I just assumed as an extra you showed up. I guess I was assuming you get treated exactly like the stars of the show. And frankly, that makes zero sense.
Yeah. You know,
no,
I was like, he definitely had a fitting with like the costume designer.
Yeah.
They came up with this look.
So that has happened on shows before. Just a quick detour if you guys are interested. If not, we can just end it right here. I had signed up to be an extra on In the Heights in 2019.
Oh.
And they were like, we want you to meet with the director, which never happens if you're a background actor. You know, there's really no reason
for you. Were you also playing Handsome Man with a Dog in that movie?
No, I played an evil gentrifier in the film In the Heights. Yeah,
right.
They were only looking for Latinx actors. So when they reached out to me, they reached out to me. And it was funny enough, off of a photo from when Wardrobe took photos of me on the set of Hustlers, which you can't really even see me in the film Hustlers, but a photo that Wardrobe took of me, I guess they were looking for someone to play this like white guy who's buying up apartments and In the Heights. So they chose me. So I met with the director and they were like, okay, my audition was literally just walk around this room. No words spoken, just walk around. And they were like, all right, you can leave. And then I left. We were in Williamsburg. I'm heading to the train. I have no idea where I am because I'm not familiar with Williamsburg. I get a text message being like, congrats, the director chose you. Go here for your fitting tomorrow.
You must have done some great walking.
Yeah, wow. What a powerful walk.
Yeah, have you guys seen the Olympic game where power people just walking? Walk? Yeah, that's how I walk. So that's probably why they chose me. And then I had a meeting with a wardrobe team. They pulled racks and racks of clothes. And they were like, the director wants to see you in something blue. I had 7 or 8 choices. And I was like, this is definitely not normal. And then the next day when we shot, the director came up to me and he's like, we're upgrading you to principal. You'll get a credit for this film. And that all worked out that way for me. So that's my first motion picture credit in the Heights, which
that's
is
so exciting. Did
they ultimately give you a name, or were you still called Evil Gentrifier?
Young professional couple, which as a guy approaching 40, I'll take, you know,
young professional couple.
You know what? We all define the word young in our own context. Yes. And I love that for you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for coming and chatting with us.
Thank you. This is really great.
When we see these episodes, we'd love to circle back because I can't
wait.
Like, honestly, I'm going to be laser focused in on you.
Same. And the dog. It's for sure. I'm going to be like, is the pavement too hot for the dog? Like, the whole time of
I'm going to be like,
thinking.
Carrie, get off the screen.
Yeah. The dog's name is Zars for everyone wondering.
Zars. Shout out to Zars and Zars mom.
A star. Wow. Well, we needed a new dog in this because I'm sure Samantha's dog from the first movie is dead. So.
Oh.
There have been lots of casting calls for people with dogs since. There was a casting that went out this week where they were looking for, like, someone with several dogs. So I don't
know
if I'll
be sure. You should try to get back in there.
I think so, too.
Full disclosure, I potentially might be doing something else. So
you know, you're a part of the world, and frankly, you're part of this viral meme. They need to use you. They need to bump you up. Maybe you could date someone... I'm sure Samantha needs a boyfriend, but she's not on the show.
Yeah.
But thank you so much
for chatting
with us.
Thank you guys. It's great. Appreciate it.
We really appreciate you coming. Thank you.
Awesome. Have a great weekend.
Oh, you too. Thanks. Bye.
All right. And we are back. Sam, I love Byram.
I did too. I felt like we were in the presence of like a real star. Like he has seen
a star
things.
Was amongst us.
Amongst us. He's lived. He smelled Sarah Jessica Parker.
Quite a description.
I was like, does she need to bring this fragrance back?
It reminded me of when Matthew McConaughey was on Oprah and he said, I believe in the musk of a man about why he doesn't shower, adding to the trend of like, you know, white people not showering.
Yeah, but he was like ahead of his time. This was back in like 2004, because I also remember that episode very distinctly, because she was like, wait, you don't wear deodorant? And he was like, no, I certainly do not.
And it reminded me a lot, and I will find this and post it, when Oprah saw ate chicken and she was like to the white woman, did you put salt and pepper on this? You know,
I know,
Oprah occasionally, through all her journalism, was shocked by what white people are up to.
And, I mean, again.
As she should
be. Yeah, I was going to say.
But let's get into this episode. This is episode 6, Secret Sex. Before we get into the synopsis, I did want to note, I noticed this is the first episode of the show directed by a man.
Oh.
Which, you know, I love the idea that Sex and the City was at least... you know, pushing forward female directors, mm-hmm. as well as Susan Seidelman, who directed the pilot. You know, when you direct a pilot, you then are setting the tone for the rest of the show, like what it will look like, even though that's not necessarily the case in this show. But I believe then she gets like money for the rest of perpetuity. It's why it's so great as a director to be hired to direct a pilot, because then you are a part of the quote-unquote creative process.
Wow.
In a way that you're making money off of it forever. So good for Susan Seidelman.
Also, I have to say that this was probably my favorite episode to date.
Yes.
Okay. I like
we'll
this
get
episode
into
a
it
lot.
But this is a good one.
Yeah.
So as an episode synopsis, Carrie has her first official big date, which leads her to ponder if she's a certain someone's dirty little secret. Charlotte reveals her own secret sex life. Miranda snoops through her date's apartment and finds his secret self. And Samantha is there to add a little fun.
You know, she's there to really support Carrie. She's there to not ask the tough questions, but she's there to kind of like push this idea that Carrie, it's okay if you fuck big. It's going to be all right.
Oh, yeah. This was, in some ways, I felt like this was the first episode to have a real organized principle where we have our theme and then all of the women are a theme on a variation. To use a musical term, and it was it really felt in step with what where we're ultimately going to get to. So mm-hmm. I just wanted to start with hearing the monologue.
Was secret sex the ultimate form of intimacy, since it existed in a pure state exempt from the judgment of the world? Or is it just another way in which we deny our feelings and emotionally compartmentalize our lives?
So Sam, can we just start with Charlotte and Miranda and then knock them out and get into Carrie? I feel like
Do you agree? 100%. I have to tell you, the scene with Charlotte made me laugh. Also, she wore glasses again.
She looks so cute.
You love her glasses.
I do. She's so adorable. Mostly because I feel like I'm going to need them one day. And, you know, I am a Charlotte. And so I believe I will look just as cute. I want to say that this episode is actually going to have spoilers. Because there's stuff in this episode that relates, I think, so heavily to things we will see. And particularly when we start with Charlotte, that, spoiler alert, everybody, I'm going to be making connections.
Okay, that's fine. Let's connect.
Yeah, so Samantha reveals to Carrie that Charlotte has, in fact, had secret sex with a rabbi, which, so then they go down to the gallery and accost Charlotte.
It was so sexy, so forbidden. Daddy's little Episcopalian princess in the arms of one of God's chosen people.
So we would talk about art and sex and the Torah.
Well, why didn't you introduce him to anybody?
I was embarrassed. I mean, I couldn't really date him, and he couldn't date me. I mean, what would people think?
Not the sex.
But it wasn't even just that. It's how Samantha said, have you heard about the rabbi? And it was just like
her secret sex with the rabbi.
Yeah, like it was so funny. And then this, okay, we talked about this last week.
But then I love she says he's a Hasidic folk artist. Yeah. And she's just like, same difference.
She's like, he's a Hasidic folk artist from Brooklyn. It just made me laugh. And it made me laugh when it was like just that quick transition of it's the rabbi. And then now we're in the gallery and we're accosting Charlotte at her place of work about who she fucked.
And so they cut to, you know, Charlotte traveling through the Hasidic community in, I believe they're in Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
And she goes and visits Shmuel.
Mm. An artist.
They have a very, you know, sexy rendezvous. What did you think of Shmuel? I thought he had a very masculine energy.
He did.
Very confident.
So confident. But I can't say I would do what Charlotte did.
Same.
I can't say
however,
I would. But I get it.
Yes. In terms of connections, though, I think it is, I mean, we're laying the framework for Harry here. that this idea that this Episcopalian princess is Carrie.
Oh my God!
Is then being flirting with God's chosen people.
Yeah.
And it kind of is indicative, right, when Charlotte says, oh no, what would people think? We couldn't be together. That is her whole journey, right? Choosing a man who she believes is more traditionally attractive,
uh-huh.
Christian, and white,
uh-huh.
Trey.
Wow.
Realizing that is not what she wants, and then really struggling against this idea of what society will think of her with a Jewish man, and ultimately rebuking that and becoming a Jew herself.
A Jewess. You're I was really just watching it.
This is it. This is her whole story.
Wow, I'm like really, you're really blowing my mind right now because I did never thought about it like that. And I watched the episode like 800 times.
I watched this one a lot. I could not believe that idea is set up here and whether or not, right, they retroactively went back and thought of it or weren't even making that connection.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that it's right all there.
I love that.
I also thought it was interesting when they're talking right after kind of the sequence where she sleeps with Shmuel.
Mm-hmm.
She tells, Charlotte says specifically to Carrie, do not put this in your column. And there is that whole theory of the characters we're seeing aren't real people. We're mm-hmm. just seeing Carrie's column kind of written, displayed on the screen. And that, yes, she has friends, but we're seeing the inspired characters. And this moment kind of bursts that bubble. And it does seem she puts it in the column.
Yeah, I mean, of course. And I loved this. They did a lot more of what I'm going to talk about this episode. I think we talked about it last week, how, like, it was when she was holding Skipper's hand and then, like, quickly was washing her hand. Like, they did that quick cut. And they did that in this episode a couple times, like, with the rabbi, and then they're at the gallery. And then she's like, don't put this in your column, and now she's typing.
Like, oh, yes, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like those
those quick visual gags.
Yes, I love that.
I also appreciate that the story establishes that there's a relationship between Charlotte and Samantha, that they would have a secret that Carrie would not know about.
Mm-hmm. I found that very relatable, too. Like, I think in a group of friends, like, not everybody is equal. Not saying you don't have the same you know what I mean?
Like, it's not hierarchical.
You just have different relationships. Like,
there's a world in which that experience happened to Charlotte, and she thought, oh, which of my friends is the right person to tell this to? Samantha,
obviously.
Who's not going to judge me, who's going to probably forget.
Yeah, and we see that later in other episodes, too, where, like, Carrie goes to Samantha for something, or Carrie goes to Miranda for one thing. And then I like when they all kind of, like, come together and they're like, I can't believe you told her. Because it's like, of course. Like, in friend groups, that's just what happens.
I know. And I do want to, like, I'm still working on this theory in my head that each of the women represent a certain different thing Carrie needs out of friendships. Mm-hmm. And we all do, right? Samantha represents a kind of reinforcement of your kind of id instincts.
Mm-hmm.
Miranda is telling you, is your brain trying to tell you almost like, hey, really
thinking.
Think about this.
Yeah,
like, you
she's
have
critical
to be
thinking skills.
Yeah. And Charlotte is, the closest I can get is like, here's crazy, Carrie, and here's the leash, Charlotte. She's always like, no, you cannot behave this way.
Yeah. But also is, like, the positive reinforcement in, like, love is real.
Absolutely.
Like, follow your heart.
But also that there are rules, but there are also rules and boundaries that, like, you cannot push within. You may want to live this kind of adventurous, interesting life, but, like, remember that there are rules and people who you might be hurting. And I think Charlotte is Carrie's Jiminy Cricket. Look, it's a working theory. I'll get through it.
I see 100% what you're saying. And you are also, as you're describing Charlotte, you're describing yourself, which is really crazy to listen to.
I did not mean to do that, but let's move on.
Okay.
So let's get into Miranda, who, once again, adding to your theory, athleisure queen.
Athleisure fucking queen. I posted this on my Instagram last week when I was banned. On my other Instagram is... Like, she needs to be in Ivy Park. Like, we need to get her some Adidas. She is really ahead of her time in her look.
I thought she looked like a goddamned idiot.
Everyone looks like an idiot now, and it's fine. She's in, like, high-waisted joggers, like, sweats, a tank top tucked in, razorback tank top, like, up here, and a sweater wrapped around her shoulders.
By the way, I did not mean her look. I meant her behavior. I apologize.
Oh, her behavior? Oh, it's insane.
Yes.
But it made me cackle, Chris. Cackle. Oh,
so she meets this guy, Ted, at a gym class. He's Ted a 32-year-old sports doctor. You didn't like Ted?
Ted? Are you serious? He looks
like
Kermit.
He had an apartment overlooking the National History Museum, which is very fancy.
Yeah, but he looked like Kermit the Frog.
They have a nice date. I'm avoiding that.
Well, she kicked him in the head at
She kicks
kickbox.
Him in the head.
And I have to say, the kickboxing studio looked like
Why
an
was
insane
it all
asylum.
White? It looked crazy.
Thank you. I was like, that is not where I would want to be.
Is this what gyms looked like in the 90s? Because, yeah, that's why I would not go.
I thought the exact same thing. I was like, that looks like a horrible workout environment. It looked really stressful, fluorescent lighting, white walls, white floors. Like,
Mariah Carey would never be seen in there.
It was just disgusting. I felt sick in there. And then, I don't know if you've been following Caroline Calloway. Do you know who that is?
Isn't that the woman who Z-Way did that interview with and she acted a damn fool?
Yeah, where she said ally cookie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's
She's
she up
insane.
To now?
There's a reason I'm bringing her up. I find her to be one of the most, like, deplorable. But, so she has an apartment in New York and she has painted it all white floors. She painted hardwood floors.
Is she dating Kanye?
All white, but she didn't paint around the pile. She painted around the piles on the floor. So there's, like, a pile of clothes and just, like, paint just around it. Like, she didn't pick anything up. and the walls are white. The ceiling is blue. So it just, this workout.
Is she well?
No! Does she sound well?
No.
Did she seem well on Z-Way's Instagram Live last summer? I don't think
so. That's
the
only thing I know of her. I took her in for that 15 minutes and then let her go.
No, she's the girl that was the scammer.
What scam? Oh, wait. Isn't Shonda Rhimes going to make a show about her?
What? Shonda Rhimes?
Okay.
Making a show about Caroline Calloway?
Isn't she?
No.
All right, let's move on. And
Okay. I was just saying, like, the white walls and the white ceiling just, like,
it
really
was very
threw
scary.
Me. It was very scary. But so Miranda kicked him right in the head.
I was interested, though, like, is that how and again, this is two people who do not go to the gym.
Right.
Is this how kickboxing class works? Like, it almost seemed like he was a staff member.
No, that is what happens. Like, you have, like, a team
Someone who is also in the class would spot you?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, that's dangerous. You're going to get kicked in the head.
That's a thing that happens. And I don't know. I mean, obviously with COVID, I don't think that's how it works anymore. But also, this is a theme throughout Sex and the City that I don't think gets talked about enough. Not that Miranda is like an athleisure queen, but she's also like very fit. Like she takes fitness very seriously. She's always doing workout classes. She's always running. She's doing baseball.
I can count at least three other examples where her storyline is predicated on her being active.
Right, and I just find that to be, like, really interesting.
We are going kind of deep on spoilers here. In season five, right, when she's struggling with her weight throughout that season because she had just given birth. And I think that idea that her body had been that she had been in control of her body and very interested, I shouldn't say in control, but very interested in managing her body.
Yes.
And then obviously you give up a certain amount of power over your own body when pregnant. And then she's trying to seek that agency again throughout season five. Then in season six, she just comes back and looks great and everything's
fine. Yeah,
she looks
incredible.
They're like, we've dropped the story. We don't need to keep doing that.
She gets in her jeans and she feels good. Life is good.
But so then she and Ted, have sex. He decides to leave her in his apartment at 6 a.m., which I thought for after a first or second date is pretty, I'd have been like, get out of here.
It's interesting. Men do that.
But he really likes her because he's like, oh, and I also would like to see you again, like tonight. Like
tonight,
I am taking a flight to DC. I'm presenting. I'm getting back on this flight, coming back, and then I want to see you tonight. I mean, he's all in.
Ted is all in on Miranda, and she... But I liked his apartment.
Would you snoop?
Yeah, I've done it. Are you kidding?
I would not snoop.
I have never looked through anyone's phone. I pride myself on that.
But you look through their drawers? I feel like I'd rather you go through my
phone.
Oh, I've
looked through, like, their medicine cabinets and stuff. Like, I'll look through, bathroom.
I've never done that to, like, a man I've dated. But, you know, if I'm going to a party, I'm going through your medicine cabinet.
I dated this guy who told me that he dated an influencer. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. Like, I'm sure this girl just, like, said she was an influencer, whatever. So I'm looking through his cabinet, and I find Tula skincare, which if you don't know what Tula is, it's like a heavily like Instagram influencer like marketed skincare brand. Okay, I actually have some. It's actually good. It had her name on it, so she had like partnered with this company.
So she was a real influencer.
She has a million followers on Instagram.
That's great. Good for her.
No, 100%. But it would like. I was like, oh my God, like you were dating like a real fucking influencer. And of course, he would tell me things. Why?
It's bad. I don't agree with it. I feel like Miranda should have taken a nap. She should have made herself some cereal or some pancakes and gotten the hell out of there.
She was just looking around. It's not like that one episode where Carrie goes, she went through two drawers, Chris.
I think that's where we found her, at two drawers.
Okay. I can't believe you've never snooped. Never?
No,
you've never felt the urge?
I don't care what is in... Like, who gives a shit? I don't care.
I do. I'm just curious.
Yeah, no. I'd rather not know.
I get it. But, like, I haven't done it with every person I've ever dated. It was literally just
the ones who've left you alone in their apartments.
Yeah, and I think that's a thing some men like to do. Like, it's like a sign of, like, I don't know, they're like, just sleep. Like, just rest, get your rest.
I feel like it's like, you're so delicate and weak, you can't possibly get out of bed at 6 a.m.
I'm like, no, I have to go too. Like,
she finds in his apartment what I guess we'd consider spanking fetish porn.
On a VHS.
Which she then steals.
Yeah, I didn't like that. Don't steal.
No, what I don't know is if she just went out and rented it.
No.
Or did she take it? Because then how is she getting it back to him? Because she can't get back in his apartment.
The next time she was there.
But then what if he got home and went looking for it? I think she might have rented it.
Okay.
But if she didn't, then if she stole it, then she's even crazier. Because she doesn't have keys to his apartment. She can't get back in to put it back. She's going to get found out. This woman is unhinged. But she goes over and watches it with Carrie.
Do you feel your cock where it wants to be every night? Every single night when you come home and everything's done in the house and I've been doing it all day?
I don't know what to do. I can't admit to having found this, but now I don't know if I want to see him again.
Yeah, of course. And Carrie is actually very sex positive in this moment. She's very just like, yeah, I mean, that's like what he's into. Like, who cares?
Yeah, don't judge him until you spank him. But Miranda,
how would
is...
you feel?
I would not care. I would just be like, that's, I mean, look, it's 2021. That was in 1998. I would not have been in it in 1998, but I was 10. So,
Now
I'd be like, okay, that's his, like, fetish.
I get it. I think everyone has their things. I would just, it would just surprise me.
Why?
Because that doesn't feel like a common fetish.
By the way, spanking is like one of the most normal, safe things you can be into.
Not the way this video was portraying it.
He was just over her knee and getting spanked. How else are you going to get spanked?
Chris, like, it just, listen, I understand it.
You seem to be less sex positive than...
No, I get it. Like, I wouldn't bring it up to him like she does eventually.
That was unhinged.
Unhinged. I wanted to crawl out of my fucking skin when they were leaving the restaurant. They had an amazing date. And what did she say, Chris?
She fixes her goddamn face to say, oh, I thought you'd be more into spanking. And then she actually spanks him. Thanks. He looked so ashen.
All the color drained from his face.
I thought he did great acting there. He looked dead.
He looked like he was mortified.
And then he just walked away.
And they never.
He dropped
she
the
never,
gym and never called again.
I wouldn't either.
I thought Miranda was very problematic here.
Deeply, but Miranda
deeply
is
deeply problematic, and it is okay. She should not sex shame him. I wish Samantha had found this man. She would have bent him over, slapped him around a few times, and we would have called it a day, baby. I even think Charlotte would have tried it. Maybe later season Charlotte.
I think Miranda was open to trying it.
Yes, but you don't. She should have just spanked him in bed.
Right, but
no one wants their bedtime fetish.
Their bedtime fetish. Ew.
Their
Chris.
Bedroom activity.
I get it, but we also see this since we've already talked about other things that happen later on in the seasons. I just have to bring this one up when the guy slips his finger into her butthole. Or, like, eats her ass or something. And
yes.
Then she tries to return the favor. And doesn't he get, like, upset?
No, I think she... No, he wants her to.
Oh, because he keeps throwing his butt in her face. You're right,
yes.
And she's like, I can't. But I think with Miranda,
and
she's
somebody's
trying...
And if somebody's going to eat your ass, Miranda, you need to return the favor.
Chris.
Don't accept if you're not going to give. Don't accept if you're not going to give.
Listen. I had this conversation with a friend of mine.
I don't think you want to be on the other side of history on this one. I think you just need to
I'm saying, I'm going to speak for myself. This is what this podcast is for. We're talking
about... For you to get dragged.
Yeah, exactly. No, so I have a friend, and I was talking to her about this, like, last week. And I was like, I just don't enjoy that happening to me. So I don't want to do that to other people.
And that is a fine perspective.
Okay. Am I on the wrong side of history?
No.
Okay.
But in that particular episode, Miranda's like, yeah, eat me. But no. That's selfish. You can't do it that way.
Okay.
She at least needed to try.
I think she...
And Miranda's so bossy, she probably would have liked it.
Listen, I think with Miranda in this episode, she saw it. She was surprised. She watched it with
Carrie. It's just not that surprising.
It's It'd be strange. I would be like, you're into spanking?
Yes, a lot of people are.
I know, but I would be like, I don't want to spank you.
You want to be spanked?
I don't know, but I don't want to spank someone. Like, I don't want a man over my legs and just hitting the tush.
There are other ways to spank. There's other ways to do it if you like.
I'm really good. I don't want to hit any man's butt.
I just think it's a perfectly fine, easy fetish to, be okay with. By the way, he could also just enjoy watching it and not want it done to him.
I agree, but what I'm trying to get at is, like, she accepts this, and this is her way of trying to, like, show him that, like, she can be into it.
And that was a crazy way to do that.
Of course, because she's a flawed human being. She's Miranda Hobbs. Deeply. The guy is, like, completely mortified by this.
As,
like,
I would be, too, because she's not supposed, because it also admits that you've looked around my apartment and found this, this secret thing that I'm, like, did not. By the way, they've had sex. He did not ask her to spank him.
Yeah, you're right. So, like, this was a thing that, like, this was his private thing.
This is not something he invited her to know about.
Oh, I kind of feel bad for him.
She robbed him and then called him out on the street. It's like, come on. I would have run away, too. Actually, I would have been a lot more like, how dare you?
Yeah.
We would have been scrapping on the street, man.
I would have pulled a Ted and would have just been like,
I gotta go.
Yeah, like, never hear from me again. Never going to kickboxing. Never seeing me in the light of day.
But that wraps up Charlotte and Miranda. Mm-hmm. And Samantha really is,
She's just there to celebrate.
She has a cute little scene later with Carrie, but there's nothing really huge. But let's get into the meat of the episode that I think really creates and makes this whole episode what it is.
Okay.
We open on the photo shoot for the ad and the iconic naked dress. What did you think of kind of her photo shoot? I thought she looked great. I thought it was super cute.
I thought it was so cute. She looked like she was having so much fun. The dress is amazing. Love that dress. To be able to wear a silk, like, slip like that and not have your body, like, bulging.
I mean,
applaud.
We've talked about it offline. I'm not sure if we've said it here, but that body.
She's sickening. Jacked, Chris.
She's up to stuff, SJP.
She is like her arms, her calves, her abs.
Back, her abs.
Her back. All of
you
it.
You can't wear that naked dress and not have that body.
But that's one of the most frustrating things about Sex and the City is that they make it seem like this is just her body. Because Carrie hates working out. Carrie smokes cigarettes. Carrie eats out all the time.
But then also, can you picture Sarah Jessica Parker at the gym? I can't.
How else does she work out? Ballet lessons?
I don't know. Maybe. She's singing Tomorrow. You know, she wasn't Annie. She's a Broadway queen. That's true.
I don't know. It's just like her body is just so amazing.
It is. She was looking great in that dress. But then they move to Carrie's apartment and a lot of group scenes in Carrie's apartment.
I liked that.
But just, we will never spend that much time in the later part of the show. They very rarely are all four of them.
Yeah.
By the way, after this season, I can't even really place Samantha in Carrie's apartment.
You can't place who?
Samantha. Like, I don't remember a time towards the later part of the show where Samantha ever goes to Carrie's. I know Miranda and Charlotte both do. But, like, at a certain point, Samantha's like, I'm not going to that shithole.
She's like, why would I go there?
But, yeah, a lot of group scenes to basically establish that Carrie's the center and nucleus of the group.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think it was odd that she leaves them in her apartment?
Yes. And I wanted to bring this up because I'm thinking to myself, I love my friends, but they would be so pissed at me if I invited them over to my house and then left them to go on a date with a guy. They would be
I think they are aware that she's going on a date, but we would all leave. We would, like, it wouldn't be like, hey guys, I'm heading out, lock up.
And it wasn't even that. It was the fact that they literally just opened the bottle of champagne
They were just sitting down.
Like,
it seems like the three of them were about to settle in and just hang out at Carrie's apartment, which is fine. It's just like, that's not anything I've ever done in my entire time of hanging out with a friend. We all go to one person's home. That person leaves and we just, like, chill. Unless you're, like, staying with the person and visiting. But, like, It just, I thought it was very strange, but
it was very strange. So what are your thoughts? No, well, what are your thoughts on the conversation that they have about sex on the first date? Where do you stand? Because we had Charlotte who was against it. Miranda said, well, you know, you should probably wait a little bit. And then Samantha was like, it doesn't matter when you have sex with them. They might leave anyways. So who cares?
Okay. So I will say, as a noted gay man, I agree with Samantha.
Okay.
However, as someone who has had, you know, close friendships with both straight men and straight women, mm-hmm. I've heard what straight men say about women who've slept with them on the first date, and it's not particularly kind.
Yeah.
So perhaps Charlotte might have something.
Yeah.
There might be some essential truth. Charlotte might be saying, look, this is the framework we're working in, baby. We're mm-hmm. dealing with these trash straight men who are not going to respect us if we put out too soon. So yeah. Stop.
Yeah, and Charlotte's like, well, you really like him, so why are you like setting it up to be this way? Like, and listen, I see all sides. I think it's all very situational. Like, I think if you're into him, but you maybe don't want to be in a relationship or whatever, I think, like, you yes, should fuck them whenever you want. Yeah,
it's incredibly situational is the right word.
Yeah, but, like, if you really like him, I mean, I think you should wait a little. I don't think you need to wait 10 dates like Charlotte suggested.
No, Charlotte suggested 5.
I thought she suggested 10 towards
no,
the end.
No, Samantha says 10 dates later. As like oh, a bit of a joke.
Okay, yeah, but, 5.
I will say, you know, for everyone listening out there, I'm famously a Charlotte. And while I do not agree with her in this instance, where I do agree with her and where I do see myself in her is that she has her belief system and she's trying to put it on everyone else.
Yes.
And that is where I believe I am a Charlotte.
And I'm a Carrie because I just don't know what's going on ever. I'm just going.
And then you make a mistake later and are like, oh, maybe I should have listened.
Yeah, 100%.
But so Big buzzes her down. And mm-hmm. did you notice that they haven't, they haven't established what Carrie's apartment looks like yet. It doesn't look right.
No, like, it's not the
set
same.
Up in the right way. There are still weird walls that aren't there later.
Yeah.
I also think it's interesting, and this will continue, Carrie has a very huge kitchen for New York City for someone who doesn't cook.
Her kitchen's very large.
Yeah, it's just surprising to me. Now, obviously, she went for it for other reasons, and maybe she just ignored the kitchen, but she mm-hmm. just has a very... She has a larger kitchen than we will later see Miranda have.
That's very true. Miranda has, like, a galley kitchen almost later.
And
that really expensive apartment.
They haven't established kind of the look of her apartment, right? Like, the wall of books isn't there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And there are just, like, mirrors. She has, like, this weird TV that's not in the right place. The corner isn't right, like, that'll ultimately have the Aiden chair in it, mm-hmm. is too deep. Like, there's just, it isn't right yet.
It isn't set yet.
Yeah, and then also, they haven't established the downstairs of her apartment, because when she meets Big, it's like she's coming out of, like, a regular building instead of a townhouse,
mm-hmm.
and he's just on the side of the street. It's not, she's not in that home, the right address yet, even though it's the same apartment. It was driving me crazy.
The chemistry.
They get in the car.
The chemistry.
Before they even get in the car, though, I want to talk about one quick moment.
Okay.
Interesting dress.
Meaning?
Interesting dress.
It's so them. It's like him saying something, her reading into, oh my God, what does that mean? And then him just giving her literally... No explanation.
But he's also like...
But he's also being very direct at the same time. It's very
weird. He isn't,
weird.
Though. He is lying.
You don't think?
He what? Could just say, he says, interesting dress. And she says, meaning, interesting dress. He could just say, I think you look incredibly sexy.
He would he's never being say coy. That. He would never say that.
Yes, but to say that he is being upfront is actually not the truth. Even when he gets in the car and he says, I'm totally capable of restraining myself, and then they go at each other, which is very sexy and
it's
great.
Very sexy.
But I think there's this idea that just because he repeats himself, he's telling the truth. And it's like, there's a way that he could have said, like, yeah, I think you look great tonight, instead of interesting dress.
But then he wouldn't be Big.
I mean, look, it's very sexy.
Very sexy. And then obviously they fuck. And
why do you think they're on the floor?
Okay. Why are they on the floor next to the bed?
And now, look, having never had heterosexual sex, I don't know why you would choose to have sex on the floor instead of the bed.
You wouldn't.
But
if there's an option.
It certainly added a certain visual punch to the scene, but I was like, in terms of reality, this is insane.
I think it was supposed to be like they just had really crazy sex.
Because they also like have the sheets over them. It looks like they tried to replicate the, like they were like, okay, we're going to have sex on the floor, but we need the sheets.
Yeah, it was weird and like very television sex, you know, like it's just like not real.
But I thought that the way they wrote it was great, mm-hmm. right? That idea, I think both the way Sarah Jessica Parker plays it and the way it's written is so perfect to that moment of like, do I leave? Am I supposed to be here?
Who's supposed to say something first? Yeah.
I just thought that tension, it was so perfectly written as a like a high wire act of like, at any second, I could fall if I make the wrong move.
Yeah, but then...
You can really sense her palpable...
She's, like, really anxious.
I can't fuck this up.
She's really anxious. She really, really likes him. And she's thinking too much about the situation. And he is being a man, a straight man, and just being like, my back hurts. Like, I have to get off the floor now. Like, I can't lay here forever.
Well, he seemed like his hand hurt. Like, his arm hurt.
Something hurt, right.
But I was like, LOL, she weighs 20 pounds. You weigh 900. She's not hurting your arm.
He's older.
He is absolutely, I think, trying to remove himself a bit. His pimp game is so strong.
But I also think he's like, get off the fucking floor.
He's running this woman ragged.
I know. And then he takes her to that shitty Chinese restaurant.
But I thought it was great that he says, want to go get Szechuan? I was like, who says that instead of, do you want to go get Chinese food?
Big.
He's so, like, particular.
He's very particular. I think he's a Virgo.
But they go and they have Chinese food. I don't think we know any of their astrological signs because they so rarely celebrate birthdays. I think I looked this up recently. Whereas, like, the Grey's Anatomy characters, for some reason, there's, like, a show Bible where they all have birthdays.
Or, like, Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, but, like, this show, they never really explain that. But, so they go and have Chinese food, or Szechuan for big, and they run into Mike Singer.
Love.
What'd you think of Mike?
Love.
I thought he was gorgeous.
Gorge. I love
those
Mike
eyes?
Singer. Yeah. I loved.
Those hairy forearms, those eyes. What a king.
I was like, please take me to Szechuan. But I texted you about this.
Yes. I wanted to make sure you brought this up.
To walk up to a male friend who's clearly on a date with someone.
With Libby Bialik.
Thank you. To walk up to him and be like, is it too naked? I would be like, what the fuck? Like, why are you saying that? Am I crazy?
No.
You are in a naked dress, and you're like, is it too naked? I would just be like, read the fucking room.
I will say Libby was very confident. She didn't feel aggrieved by Carrie. She stood up and instantly introduced herself.
And Mike she was like, got sit the fuck energy. Down.
But he's like, bitch.
He's like, you need to sit the fuck down and shut the fuck up.
But let's just chat about Mike Singer and kind of what he represents in terms of this episode briefly before we get back into Carrie and Big.
Okay.
So... Again, I love that Carrie's world is larger.
Larger. I was thinking that the whole time.
She again has this friend who she's known for years and...
They go to Bed Bath & Beyond together.
Yes, but and they also have a certain... You can sense that there's a certain sexual chemistry, like when they're laying there together, that like this could be a viable interest, but she really does like him as a friend, as she says earlier. Like, I want to keep him as a friend for 20 years. I actually, and I don't think it is him, but later there's an episode where they go to someone's engagement party and they say how they've all hooked up with him. And I thought it would be interesting. I was hoping, and I don't think it is, that character, what a great callback had that been Mike Singer.
Yeah, it's not, though.
It's not, but I was like, bring back these people because they build this world in season one, and then they kind of just jettison it out. But I thought that was great. I agree. They're laying in that bed, Bed Bath & Beyond, and she's so close. I don't think I've laid that close to a man who I've like genuinely like loved.
I mean, it was so intimate.
But he's explaining his relationship with Libby, that the sex is great. He feels safe with her, and he can be himself. But that she's not the person he sees himself with.
Yeah,
have you
triggered.
Had that experience?
Multiple times, triggered. 100%.
Have you, where you've been Libby or you've been Mike?
I've been Libby.
I've only been Mike.
Oh, okay. Power move. Thanks for that. I have been Libby.
No,
where
I'm sure I've been Libby and just didn't even know I was.
I wasn't like kept a secret, but it's one of those situations. I mean, where I've been like told, I think you're amazing. I think you're wonderful, beautiful, funny. We have like a great time together, blah, blah, blah. But I just can't see myself marrying you.
I will say
those words have actually been said to me multiple times by multiple different people. And that's something I need to like really work with. Like, why can't you marry me?
And maybe we don't talk about that here.
I'm just saying, it's like, it's very strange.
It is. It's a tough thing to say.
It's a tough thing to say.
I did forget that I did have a guy who took me to the same shitty bar every single time we hung out that was right next to his place. But it wasn't that it was a secret from like the world. It was that he had a boyfriend and I did not know that.
Oh, okay.
So in that case, I don't know if I was Libby. I was kind of a Carrie season 3.
Yeah, you.
But without the knowingness.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It just made me sad, though, that
mostly
because
Libby's also
way.
Gorge. She's gorgeous. And she's into cheese. I didn't think she was so much less attractive than Mike Singer.
Oh, I didn't either. I felt that they were on the same kind of
Yeah, I was
wave,
like, this is like, you are pretty, you're pretty an equally weighted couple. Like, if I saw you two together, I'd be like, yeah, that's pretty.
It's a normal, cute couple.
That's two, like, 8 and a half walking right there. That's great, baby.
They love
Go
cheese.
Off. But later, Mike reveals that Libby left him because of his intimacy issues. So
that made me laugh because
I love that Libby is, that it doesn't end with, that Libby ends with the upper hand.
Mm-hmm, me too. I love that for Libby. Power move for Libs.
Great. But love Mike Singer.
Love Mike Singer.
So Carrie, as we mentioned, back to her.
She does call Mike Singer towards the end of the episode and ask why he took Libby there.
Yes.
Because
and she mentions that it is
took
it's a
her back there.
Yes, it's a place where you go to this Chinese place because it's a place. Well, it's a place where Mike Singer would never run into anyone. I thought it was interesting, right? Like Mike Singer and Big don't run in the same circles. Like you don't.
No.
Like my secret place might not be the same as someone else's.
Right. I don't have a secret place.
I've got a few.
Oh.
They don't speak for a bit, Carrie and Big, mm-hmm. and then he calls, and they have a very sexy phone call where he says, where he's very upfront and says, like, I've been thinking about you a ton.
Mm-hmm.
And it cuts to them walking in the most heterosexual walk that cannot be comfortable, easy, indicative of how other people would like to travel the streets.
No.
I was so disgusted at the two of them for walking like that.
Also, it's not real.
No one walking. I've seen straight people walking in a way that is unhinged in their holding of hands and the like guy putting his arm around the woman's neck
like
he's strangling
that.
Her. This was like, they were truly like, the only way you should be touching one another in that way is when you are cuddling in bed watching Bridgerton.
It was very like they wanted to really portray that they were like really close and really like snuggled up. But then they run into his friend. He doesn't introduce Carrie. It's very awkward. I would be very upset.
Yes. And we'll get into that in a bit. But then Big says, I cannot come to your bus reveal. But they all go. Charlotte can't help herself but say like, well, Big didn't come because you slept with him.
That was kind of mean.
I know, but sometimes some of us are born queens and we can't help but say what comes to our mind.
It was like, you're celebrating her moment. Like, I don't think in this moment you really need to bring up the fact that, like,
Charlotte,
she's not there
like, dug the knife in and twisted it.
She really did. And a party hat, too.
She looked great.
They all looked so cute in their little hats.
And then Mike Singer comes. That's
why wasn't Miranda there?
She's on the date with Ted.
Oh.
Those are happening at parallel times. Or
oh,
she's
okay.
Getting ready for the date with Ted. This second part of the episode all has to take place within 24 hours.
Okay.
Like the morning that Miranda wakes up and that evening.
Yeah.
So then Carrie proceeds to get very drunk, apparently off champagne. I will say that Big does say earlier when they're at dinner, I can't make it, but if you want to come over later, you should.
Yeah.
So it's not like, so she, I caught that the second time I watched it, because I was like, wow, she's insane to show up at his apartment.
Mm-hmm.
But he did say, I'd like to see you later that night.
Yeah.
So she shows up, and it's one of our first of many declarations
from
Miss Carrie Bradshaw.
Especially when she's drunk.
Yes.
You won't introduce me to your friends. You bring me back to that restaurant where men take women they don't want to be seen with. You won't come out and meet my friends. You know, you have me in a niche. certain events, certain restaurants, certain people. Like I'm only a particular fragment of the kind of person you think that you should be dating.
They've only known each other for an X amount of time. I also thought it was weird that she wanted him to meet her friends already.
Yes.
I was like, you just went on a date with him. Like, relax. It's weird. She's like, oh, I really wanted you to meet my friends. It's like, what?
They've been on one official date.
Like, that's weird, Carrie. It's really weird. And then to go to his apartment and be like, you only know this part of me. He's like, yeah, we've hung out like once. Like, what do you mean?
But he explains himself. He says basically that I just really like that noodle place.
Yeah, very
and
easy.
I didn't know who that man, I didn't know his name.
Yeah, see, this is what I'm trying to get at, is like,
but when you go back and watch the episode, but when you go back and watch their interaction, I do think it's interesting that because of the show keeping Big's name a secret, the man doesn't say his name either.
Right.
So it is very, it is a strange interaction where it would be, Big's point would make more sense if the man had said, hi, John.
Yeah.
But because he can't, because we're not supposed to know Big's name, it is fine. The man doesn't know, so it comes off like, he doesn't remember you, you don't remember him. You should have just introduced yourself.
Right, but that's the part that I'm trying to make over and over again, is that there's really not much more to what Big does or says other than, like, what he does or says.
I think I think you're seeing him only in a silo right now. Whereas opposed to, I think, in a few episodes and certainly in season two, he's running game.
He's so selfish.
He's selfish. He's
But that's the point. Like, he's not thinking about Carrie and how she feels about going to a noodle restaurant. Like, so he's selfish and just like, yeah, I took you there because I like noodles. It's really not that deep.
Even after his declaration, she says basically that she's still afraid. Like, nothing he has said has really acquiesced or made her feel better.
Yeah.
I should have been jumping for joy, but I only felt a hard knot of fear.
So you and me? Then maybe this is for real?
Listen.
You're telling me this is not a man who's running game?
It's because, okay, I talk about this all the time. They have very different attachment styles, Chris. Do you know what attachment styles are?
Yes.
Okay.
And what is his?
He's an None. Avoidant attachment. And she's an anxious attachment. I have been in that relationship. I know Big and Carrie's relationship so deeply and intimately because I lived it. Literally, I am a writer, and the person that I had an on and off again relationship for 4 years with is in finance. And we had this very like avoidant, anxious attachment style relationship where like I never got everything that I wanted, but I kept pressing and pressing. And the more that I pressed, the more he was like, no, no, no. Like,
I can't. What I would say to you is that you are not on a TV show and you should probably do some looking inward and find someone.
I did. This was like, this.
It's very fun to watch on TV, but
yeah,
that should not
living
be
it, it's so
life.
Traumatic. Living it is like literally a horrible experience.
But I do think that there's this part on the show, at least right now, to present this as if he is kind of like, I'm just like this normal guy. It's like, no, he is creating this drama. And a part of it, I do think he is very interested in her, in his ability to control her. He is attracted to the fact that he has this power over her, that that she would show up and drunk. And, like, that is the kind of behavior you would absolutely be like, I never want to see this person again. Instead, he's like, you know, you should spend the night and let's have sex. It's like, no, no, no. Yeah. I would be like, you got to get out of here, girl. And I will say that in terms of this scene, kind of interestingly, obviously is a foreshadowing of a season two episode, La Dolores Squeeze, where she calls him drunk from Paris and is in fact holding a cocktail glass again and spilling.
Yes.
And then there's also, he will not actively answer her monologue until the finale, when he finally doesn't say could be. Well, we're spoiling things.
Not this! Don't spoil the finale!
I think that if you've seen if I can spoil season two, you've probably finished the show.
I know, I just...
And it's like that it takes all of that time for him to... He will not answer a question fully until the finale.
Yeah.
And
until she gets slapped.
I would argue that that's not really the answer I'm talking about, but sure.
Really?
But the scene definitely mirrored. That scene, it will be mirrored later. Okay. In two instances, I think. If not more, actually.
I feel like now we're getting into it. We're in
hopefully.
It.
I mean, I don't really remember the rest of this the season, but it feels like at least this one we finally got somewhere, which was great. What did you think of the fashion?
I really loved Miranda's athleisure look, like I said. I really enjoyed it. I loved the naked dress. Hated the fur coat, always. If there's not a fur coat in the episode, there's Skipper in the episode, so I'm complaining about something.
Yeah, I thought the fur coat plus naked dress looked great.
It looked very cheap.
I thought Big's pajamas were very cute. His I also loved his tousled hair.
Yeah, I liked Bedtime Big.
Yeah, even though he was a complete piece of shit that whole scene.
Yeah, but see, I'm dizzy because I'm like, I understand him. Like, but you don't understand anybody. What are you talking about?
No, he's not to be understood.
Yeah, like, I'm an idiot.
They were both a goddamn mess in that final scene. I was kind of like, both of you need to be in jail.
Yeah.
We had, in terms of our men, we met Mike Singer, Shmuel, Ted, and Mr. Big. I'm, you know, having talked about it, I'm angrier at Big than I was when watching it, and I'm not going to be seduced by his tousled hair, and I'm going to give it to Mike Singer.
Okay.
For me. That's who I'm sleeping with.
I have a curveball.
You're giving it to Shmuel?
No, I'm giving it to the guy on the street.
Ted?
No, the guy on the street that he runs into and he doesn't remember his name.
Oh, he was hot.
He was so hot. And he was at that little market in the middle of the day. I love a man that goes to a market. I would do him.
I think it was a Saturday and he was getting groceries with his wife. I don't think it was.
Really?
I don't think it was like, I don't think it was some huge.
I thought it was like a cute little moment, okay? Let me have my moment.
I think it was, you know, just going to get groceries.
I enjoyed it. I thought he was very sexy and I would do.
He was very, he was unnecessarily cute for basically a side character.
That's what with I'm no saying. Name. I enjoyed him.
Did you have any hot takes about this one?
I think we covered them because I'm over here like trying to understand Big like a dizzy Carrie and you're just dragging me.
Yeah, I would have to say, I'm sorry, I can't, don't hate me. Carrie and Big are both garbage at this point in the show. She's a mess. He's lying.
Yeah.
They're unhealthy. They both need therapy.
So unhealthy.
Frankly, as much as I loved this episode, the fact that this is where their relationship starts, I was like, oh, fuck. This is not
good. Yeah, we're in for it. And that's what's so good about this show is that they are so unhealthy.
But it's sad that their relationship doesn't even start from a place of healthiness.
No. No, it doesn't.
Already, it's so fucked up. So I'm sorry I can't, don't hate me, to myself, really, for spending the last 5 episodes of this podcast admiring Big, and now I'm like, get him off the screen.
Yeah, you've built him up to tear him down.
And that is exactly, society has built men up, and I will personally tear them all down as we watch this show. But I'll also tear down Carrie.
What would you rate it on a scale of 1 to 10?
I would give this, honestly, I loved this episode so much, I would give this an 8 out of 10. I thought it was a really, if there had been a solid Samantha storyline, as I think later
it would have
the
been
show
a 9
was,
out of 10.
I would actually think it would almost be a perfect episode if there had been a great Samantha storyline that was really funny.
Okay.
Which is where I think the show will ultimately get to, being able to give them all something to do and balancing, like, Carrie having an emotional storyline and then something really funny, maybe something a little problematic over here, something more for Charlotte. But I thought the Carrie stuff with the Carrie Big stuff, while upsetting and not healthy, was compelling to watch.
Yeah. I would say I give it a 7.5, 7 out of 10.
A 7.5 or a 7 out of 10? You said
like a 7.
You said 7.5 and then backed up by 0.5.
Yeah, I give it like a 7.3.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. I liked that we get to see Big and Carrie be very dysfunctional and unhealthy. I like that we got to see more Charlotte and Miranda. Like you said, I want more Samantha, but yeah, that's just my score.
All right, well, guys, that is episode 6 of Shortcomings and also episode 6 of season 1 of Sex and the City. Thank you again to our guest, Byram Razai, for joining us to chat about the revival. We hope you will join us again next week for a recap of Season 1, Episode 7, The Monogamous. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review Shortcomings wherever you listen to podcasts. Check out the other podcasts from The Dip, TV Watch Repeat, Pop Chaser, Slut Pig Podcast, But Now We Said It, and of course Hot Off the Mess, which is Sam's podcast. And you can follow us online. I'm at clewis1219 on Instagram, and that's the only place you can find me. Sam, where are you?
I am at Bravo Historian on Instagram. I am at Take Your Soul Off on Twitter, where I just...
Screaming into the void.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, we will see you next week.
Right, bye. Bye.